Our text this afternoon is Hebrews 4 and verses 14 through 16. Let's give our attention now to God's holy word. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As for the reading of God's holy word, may He bless our hearts this afternoon. Please also turn with me in the three forms of unity to the Belgian Confession of Faith, Article 26. That can be found in the Forms and Prayers book on page 180. Or in the songbook on page 864, page 180 in the Forms and Prayers book, page 864 in the songbook. This is what we believe and confess as a Reformed Church based on God's Word. Listen as I read it now. Article 26, the intercession of Christ. We believe that we have no access to God except through the one and only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He, therefore, was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we, human beings, might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we would have no access. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one according to our fancy. For neither in heaven nor among the creatures on earth is there anyone who loves us more than Jesus Christ does. Although he was in the form of God, he nevertheless emptied himself, taking the form of a man and a servant for us. He made himself completely like his brothers. Suppose we had to find another intercessor. Who would love us more than he who gave his life for us, even though we were his enemies? And suppose we had to find one who has prestige and power, who has as much of these as he who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and who has all power in heaven and on earth, and who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son. So then, sheer unbelief has led to the practice of dishonoring the saints instead of honoring them. That was something the saints never did nor asked for, but which, in keeping with their duty, as appears from their writings, they consistently refused. We should not plead here that we are unworthy, for it is not a question of offering our prayers on the basis of our own dignity, but only on the basis of the excellence and dignity of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is ours by faith. Since the apostle, for good reason, wants us to get rid of this foolish fear, or rather this unbelief, he says to us that Jesus Christ was made like his brothers in all things, that he might be a high priest who is merciful and faithful to purify the sins of the people. For since he suffered, being tempted, he is also able to help those who are tempted. And further, to encourage us more to approach him, he says, since we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has entered into heaven, we maintain our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to have compassion for our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things, just as we are, except for sin. Let us go then with confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in order to be helped. The same apostle says that we have liberty to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let us go then in the assurance of faith. Likewise, Christ's priesthood is forever. By this he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him who always lives to intercede for them. What more do we need? For Christ himself declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father but by me. Why should we seek another intercessor? Since it has pleased God to give us his Son as our intercessor, let us not leave him for another, or rather seek, without ever finding? For when God gave him to us, he knew well that we were sinners. Therefore, in following the command of Christ, we call on the Heavenly Father through Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught by the Lord's Prayer, being assured that we shall obtain all we ask of the Father in his name. Amen. Well, if you were to ask me, what's your favorite article in the Belgic Confession of Faith? Without hesitation, this would be the first one that would come to my mind. No doubt there's other ones that I love as well, and if I thought harder about it, I could think of some other wonderful articles in our confession. They're all wonderful. They're all biblical. But there's something about this one that just gets me. Even as I read it, it's hard not to cry. So comforting, this article. We'll see if I can get through this sermon. but it's a beautiful article, very pastoral, that teaches us about the intercession of Christ, our mediator. Very recently in our confession, we considered how Christ serves us as our priest in his sacrifice. I think it was Article 21, we talked about his sacrifice for us and what his work on the cross has done for us to fully atone for all of our sins. And what we see here in this article is that Christ continues to serve us as our great high priest at the Father's right hand. When we think of Christ's ascension to the Father's right hand, we shouldn't think to ourselves that he's, you know, done with serving us, as if he's just going to kick back now and allow the Holy Spirit to do all the work now. No, he continues to work for us and serve us as our great high priest. And we'll see here, as we consider the intercession of Christ, our mediator, three things. First, he's our one and only mediator. And then secondly, he's our sympathetic mediator. And then third, he's our all-sufficient mediator. So he's the one and only, he's our sympathetic, and he's our all-sufficient mediator. First, he's our one and only mediator. Now, what is a mediator? A mediator is someone who goes between two parties and mediates between them in order to bring them together when they're in a conflict with each other. Children, perhaps you've experienced this, right? When you're arguing with your siblings and your mom or your dad come and they mediate between the two of you. You know, you go to that room and you go to that room, and then the parent comes and talks to one and then talks to the other and then brings them together and let's talk about this now, and they mediate between you in order to bring about peace and reconciliation. Because in this fallen, sin-cursed world, we have conflicts with other sinners because of our own sin and because of the sin of others. And so we often have to mediate between one person and another. Well, the greatest conflict known to mankind is the conflict between the holy God of the universe and his sinful, rebellious creatures who've rebelled against him, committing cosmic treason. And the Bible teaches that apart from a mediator, sinners can't approach this holy God in a relationship and expect to be in a relationship that experiences love and peace and blessing. You see, everyone has a relationship with God. The problem is that apart from a mediator, it's a relationship where God is our enemy and we stand under his just condemnation. But when God appoints a mediator for us in his grace and mercy, we're able then to approach his holy throne with confidence and assurance. In the Old Testament, we see Moses mediating for Israel after they had erected the golden calf in Exodus 32 as a type of Christ. He is a type of Christ there, interceding on behalf of the people. And we also see that the Old Covenant priests mediated on behalf of the people through sacrifice and intercession on behalf of the people. But when we come to the New Testament, we learn that all of the mediators of the Old Testament, they were all just types. They were shadows and types of the final mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. Galatians 4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. You see, Christ reconciles us to God. We were once children of wrath, his enemies, but now in Christ we are sons, sons of God, children of God, and heirs of eternal life. And it's all because of our one and only mediator, Jesus Christ, and his perfect life for us, and his sacrificial death on the cross, and in his resurrection from the dead. And Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to know the Father, if you want to have a relationship with the Father of love and blessing, then you can only know him through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father, he says, except through me. 1 Timothy 2 says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the one mediator. There is no other that can be ultimately our mediator. According to the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, a new and better covenant. And as our one mediator and great high priest, we saw recently that he entered into the true holy of holies in the true temple in heaven, and through the eternal spirit presented his once and for all sacrifice on our behalf. This is why he's so much greater than the old covenant priests. They served in copies of the heavenly temple. Christ serves in the true temple of heaven. They had to sacrifice for their own sins. Christ was a sinless priest who makes the spotless sacrifice of his own body. He gives up his own spotless, perfect sacrifice of his own body and a whole life of perfect obedience. They, the old covenant priests, had to repeatedly offer sacrifices. Well, Christ offered a once and for all sacrifice is the message over and over again declared in the book of Hebrews. A once for all sacrifice which ended all the sacrifices of the old covenant. All the old covenant priests eventually died because of their own sins, and somebody else had to take over for them. Well, Christ was raised from the dead and ever lives to make intercession for us as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews says. And so there's one mediator now, Jesus Christ alone. And not only is he described as our mediator in the Bible, he's also described as our advocate in the Bible. For instance, 1 John 2 says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And what is an advocate? Well, an advocate was a legal term in the ancient world. An advocate was one who pleaded the defense of another in a court of law, especially one who was helpless and defenseless and couldn't really do much for themselves. An advocate advocated for that person so they couldn't be taken advantage of, and they pleaded that person's defense in a court of law. Well, Christ is our advocate in the sense that he pleads our innocence before the Father as the righteous one who made propitiation for our sins. He's the righteous one who perfectly obeyed, and then he is the propitiation for our sins on the cross, having fully satisfied God's just wrath, which is why right before this in 1 John 2, where he's described as our advocate, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We often probably think he would say, you know, he's faithful and merciful to forgive us, but he says he's faithful and just because he wants us to know that God's just wrath has been satisfied. Justice smiles and asks no more. The Father can no longer punish us if we are in Christ, because Christ was punished in our place. It would be unjust for Him to do so. Christ is our advocate who pleads our defense before the Father as the righteous one who made propitiation for our sins. And so, in Christ, no one can condemn us. No one can condemn us. When you wrestle against your guilty conscience and you feel, you know, how could God ever forgive me? And surely I'm condemned. You say, no, Christ is my advocate. Christ is my propitiation. When the devil accuses you, it says in the Bible, he's the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse God's people and say, God can never love you. He must not love you. Look at all the sin you've done. We look to Christ. He is our advocate. He is our righteousness before the Father's throne in heaven, who pleads our defense. And so Paul asks in Romans 8, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who is to condemn? The answer is no one. Nobody can condemn us. Only God is the ultimate judge of the world. And if He doesn't condemn us, then nobody can condemn us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we can't be condemned if Jesus is our mediator and our advocate who's interceding for us. And the Bible not only says that He's interceding for us right now, but also, according to Hebrews 7, He's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He's able to save us to the uttermost. This is what Christ is doing for you and me right now. He's interceding for us at the Father's right hand as our great high priest. Why? Because we are still sinners who need a mediator. But with Christ as our mediator, we have nothing to fear. God's wrath is satisfied, and Christ is saving us to the uttermost. He's constantly interceding for us so that we can continue to rest in God's pardon, provision, and protection. He's our one and only mediator. Our confession says, we believe that we have no access to God except through the one and only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He therefore was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we would have no access. There the confession reminds us that Christ is true God and true man. He added a true human nature. He's true God and true man and perfectly righteous man. And so He is able to fully atone for all of our sins and satisfy God's wrath and turn it away from us because He is true man. God is not going to punish animals ultimately in our place. That would be unjust ultimately if that was the way it went. No, that was all type of the one who would come, the Lamb of God, who would be true man to take our place. And He had to be a righteous man so that He could pay for our sins. A sinner can't pay for our sins. He had to be righteous, and He had to be true God so that by the power of His Godhead, He might sustain in His human nature the burden of God's wrath and so deliver us from it forever. And by the dignity of an infinite worth of His person as the Son of God, He might redeem us from eternity in hell. And so He's true God, He's true man, and He's righteous man. He's our one mediator, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And secondly, our confession highlights that He's our sympathetic mediator. He's our sympathetic mediator. The author of Hebrews says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is one of the glories of the incarnation as well. Christ, the eternal Son of God, can sympathize with our weaknesses because He was made like us in every way, and was tempted and tested like us in every way, and yet without sin. Think about it. Christ knew what it meant to be hungry, thirsty, homeless, cold, uncomfortable, tired. He knew temptation to sin. He knew sorrow when he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He knew what it was like to have friends who were slow to learn, friends who would deny him and betray him. He knew what it was to be whipped, mocked, and tortured. He knew suffering more than anyone who has ever lived. Hebrews 5 says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. And his sufferings came to a climax on the cross where he cried out, my God, oh, why have you forsaken me? And suffered the wrath of God in our place. Suffered hell. He was crucified, dead and buried. And so Christ then is able to sympathize with you in all your weaknesses and trials and sufferings in the Christian life. And this sympathy of Christ, our great high priest, should give us great comfort in the midst of all of our trials, whatever we're going through. Have you ever thought to yourself, I know I have, no one knows what I'm going through right now. No one knows what I'm going through. Well, you may feel invisible to everyone, but you aren't invisible to him. He notices you. He knows your name, and he speaks your name to the Father. He's your great high priest at the Father's right hand, and he's interceding for you right now as we speak at this moment with a heart of love and mercy and compassion towards you. You see, Christ's exaltation hasn't diminished his emotions. I think maybe we might think that way sometimes. You know, he's exalted in glory now. Well, why would he care about us? But no, his emotions, such as compassion, have not diminished, but rather they have increased. They've been enlarged. They've been perfected in glory. And so Christ isn't indifferent to your struggles and temptations now that he's ascended to heaven. Rather, his compassion is greatly stirred by them. In one of the greatest books by a Puritan author, The Heart of Christ in Heaven Towards Sinners on Earth, just that title, The Heart of Christ in Heaven Towards Sinners on Earth. The Puritan Thomas Godwin writes that during Christ's time on earth, God prepared for him all sorts of afflictions and miseries in order to frame his heart when he should be in glory. He gave him all those sufferings to frame his heart when he should be in glory. As Stephen Charnock once wrote, he was a man of sorrows that he might be a man of compassions. Beloved, our Savior is more compassionate to us now than we can ever be to ourselves. And not only does he take compassion on us in our sufferings, he takes compassion on us even as we struggle against sin. Once again, in the words of Thomas Goodwin, he says this, your very sins move him to pity more than anger. What a thought. Your very sins move him to pity more than anger. He says, even as the heart of a father is to a child that hath some loathsome disease, or as one is to a member of his body that hath the leprosy, he hates not the member of his body, for it is his flesh, but the disease, and that provokes him to pity the part affected the more. How beautiful is that, to think about Christ, his pity for us as we struggle against sin. See, Christ came to save sinners, and he intercedes for you in the midst of all your struggles with sin. And he will save you from all your sins. You already have no condemnation in Christ because of your sin. But you also have the assurance that he is more and more removing the corruption that remains inside of you. There's no condemnation in Christ, and he's more and more removing the corruption of the sin that remains. And that's part of his intercessory work on your behalf as your great high priest. Beloved, this is our sympathetic high priest. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Even in glory, he is touched by our infirmities. And it in no way is a sign of weakness, but of his power to love and save us to the uttermost. And the fact that Christ is sinless, holy, and all-powerful ought not to discourage you from drawing near to God through him. And here's where I absolutely love the comforting words of our confession. These are some of my favorite words here when our confession says this: but this mediator whom the Father, has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one according to our fancy. For neither in heaven nor among the creatures on earth is there anyone who loves us more than Jesus Christ. Isn't that comforting to know? Think about it. Does anyone in all of creation love you more than Jesus? No. No one loves you more than Jesus in all of creation. Commenting on these words, Pastor Danny Hyde writes, "Who loves us more than he who said, 'Come to me, and I will give you rest'? Who loves us more than the one who calls us friends and said, 'Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends'? Indeed, what in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? He is the one who left eternity for time, fellowship with the Father for the rejection of his own, kingship for service, and he did this for us, his enemies. Although he was God, he didn't count equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and was obedient unto death, even death on a cross." So, beloved, who loves us more in all of creation than Jesus? No one. The love of friends may fail you. The love of a spouse may fail you. The love of a father may fail you. The love of children may fail you. The love of all may fail you, but the love of Christ will never fail you. And it's not just the love of Christ, it's the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You who trust in Christ are loved by the triune God. And so Christ is our one and only mediator, and he's our sympathetic mediator. And third, we see here that he's our all-sufficient mediator. I love how our confession continues, almost sort of in a, trying to persuade, almost like in a, you know, a debate or an argument, but tenderly pleading with the person. Our confession, for the sake of argument, says, you know, suppose we had to find another intercessor. Suppose we had to find another intercessor. You know, what would the ideal intercessor be like? And it asks three questions and answers them. First, it asks, are you looking for love in a mediator? Our confession replies, who would love us more than he who gave his life for us, even though we were his enemies? Romans 5 says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're looking for love in a mediator, who could love us more than Christ, who gave his life for us while we were his enemies? Are you looking for prestige and power in a mediator, it asks? Well, our confession replies, who has as much of these, prestige and power, as he who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and who has all power in heaven and on earth, right? As Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In Ephesians 1, Paul prays that we would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. You want prestige and power? It doesn't get any better than that. Third, it asks, are you looking for access to God the Father as a mediator? Well, our confession replies, and who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son? Who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son? Jesus said in John 16, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You want somebody who's going to get you access? Who more than the Son of God, the beloved Son of God? And so Christ, you see, is our all-sufficient mediator. You can almost hear the author of our confession, Guido de Bray, pleading, why? Why would you turn anywhere else? Why would you pray to Mary? Why would you pray to a saint? Why would you feel the need to go to a priest to confess your sins? You have the greatest mediator and the only mediator you need in Christ. In fact, it's blasphemous and a lack of trust in God's word to seek another mediator. Just read the book of Hebrews, which our confession just quotes over and over again in this article. Beloved, Christ is the only mediator and the only sympathetic high priest that you'll need. And so God's word exhorts us in Hebrews 4, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Right? How can we not have confidence after all that? And I love how our confession ends in this article. Why should we seek another intercessor, since it has pleased God to give us his Son as our intercessor? Let us not leave him for another, or rather seek without ever finding. For when God gave him to us, he knew well that we were sinners. What a line. God knew well that when he gave him to us, that we were sinners. This wasn't a surprise to God. You know, sometimes we enter into a relationship, sometimes marriage we enter into, and we're surprised at a lot of things that we didn't know in advance. What did we get ourselves into? God knew. God knew what he was getting himself into. He well knew when he gave him to us that we were sinners. That's why he was given the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And he saves us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day he'll save us from the presence of sin altogether. And isn't that our great longing? To be free from the presence of sin forever. I love that extra stanza we sang this morning to the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, as it expresses our eager longing to be free from the presence of sin forever. Oh, that day when, freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, full arrayed in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, bring thy promises to pass, for I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last. That's our great longing, is to once and for all be freed from the presence of sin forever. And beloved, one day that will be true of you and me, because Christ is our one and only mediator. He's our sympathetic mediator, and he's our all-sufficient mediator. And so take comfort this Lord's Day and rejoice that he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful good news once again that we've heard as Christ has been proclaimed from your word. And we thank you that you have given him, your only begotten Son, to us to be our one and only mediator, our sympathetic high priest, our intercessor at your right hand, our advocate at your right hand. Father, we pray that you'd help each of us here to rest entirely in his work and to find great comfort in the midst of all of our trials and sufferings in this life and in all of our wrestling against our sin nature. Help us to know that we have a great high priest at your right hand whose name is love and who laid down his life for us and is interceding for us forever and even gives us his spirit by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, and that you continue to work in us and mold us more into his image. We thank you for that and we pray you continue to do that work. Sanctify us this day and help us to run the race of the Christian life with perseverance, looking to Jesus Christ above, our great high priest and our eternal king, eagerly looking forward to the day when he's going to come again and wipe away all tears from our eyes and right every wrong and bring us into the glories of the age to come where we'll be free forever from the presence of sin forever. And we long for that day. We pray, Lord Jesus, quickly come. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.